fear, Smith is here. Dr. Smith, I did not like that man, as written. Because of my expertise and my experience, which is, of course, vast, I knew that in 4 or 5 shows he'd be killed off. And then I'd be jobless again, which is very boring. So I started to plan what to do. Villainy is easy. I've played many villains in my time, and my most successful villains have been comedic villains. And I began to plot and plan how to do that. I began to sneak it in. And Tony Wilson, the story editor, knew what I was up to and talked to Irwin, and I must say, Irwin not only allowed me to do that, but one day said, "Do more." And I did. And the rest, as we say, is history. I loved that character. I created him from nothing. He was not on the page. On the page was the deep-dyed, snarling villain who was a great bore to me. And the other man that finally evolved was very close to my heart. And of all the many myriad characters that I have played in my life, he surely is the favorite. He is.
Up a pill. When I left that place, I was terminally ill. Oh, Dr. Negative. I went to the doctor, I was looking for some hope. When I left that place, I was drunk and shooting dope. For some medical advice. When I left that place, they were packing me in ice. Dr. Negative. I went to the doctor for a scrape on my knee. Next thing I knew, I was buried neath a tree.
high school at 8, college at 10 and a half, and after 3 years pre-med, I was the head doctor of brain surgery. After operating, I'd pause, tighten the gauze, wait for applause, while my patients laughed hysterically. Obviously, they were in stitches over me. I was a teenage brain surgeon, a teenage brain surgeon, a knocked out, fractured brain surgeon, the sharpest operator in town. While the other kids were digging Dick Clark from coast to coast, I was a digging Dr. Kildare, like man you know the most. Even when I was in grade school, I had that medical look. I never got past the appendix whenever I opened a book. Scalpel.
Scalpel.
Forceps.
Forceps.
Suture.
Suture.
Oops. Anesthetic.
Anesthetic.
Whenever I went out dancing to make my night complete, I brought along my stethoscope. Man, you hear the wildest beat. One night the band was playing I've Got You Under My Skin. I scared a fella half to death when I said, may I cut in? I was a teenage brain surgeon, a teenage brain surgeon, a rockin' rollin' brain surgeon, the sharpest operator in town.
Thank you. Dr. Chet Vet, the dead pet remover. If you have a dead pet in your home but you're afraid to remove it because you just do not know the proper procedure, then give me a call at 870-9511 and I'll arrange for instant sanitary dead pet removal. I'll send a team of specialists to your door, and they'll remove your dead pet in a sanitized bag. Plus, clean and sanitize the area in which your pet was last seen. No pet is too big or too small for my specialists to remove at the amazingly low price of just 49 cents a pound. So give me a call at 870-9511. You can bet I'm set to get your dead pet. I'm Dr. Chet Vet, the dead pet remover.
There you go. Dave Thomas, Dr. Yeah. Chet Vet, there the dead pet remover. That was Dave Thomas from SCTV doing Dr. Chet Pet. All right, what do we hear? We heard Take Up Thine Stethoscope and Walk featuring Roger Barrett. That is correct. His name was Roger. His nickname was Sid. Bazino requesting UFO. Doctor, and a double shot of Kelvs for you. We heard Orbital doing Doctor. And we heard I Was a Teenage Brain Surgeon. By Spike Jones. Ooh, man, that was nice. We also heard Dr. Negative by the Colorblind James Experience. And I really do think that I think veterinarians, not only an unsung profession, and they probably need a lot more wide knowledge of the body than a regular doctor, specialist. They need to know everything. I was just thinking it should be more like I think doctors should be more like veterinarians. I really do. You know, they come out and they say, well, you know, Grandpa, he's not doing too good. You know, because $18,000 surgery. Now, you don't have to do this, but it's an $18,000 surgery with, you know, $20,000 in recuperation. You know, you don't have to do this. We can make him comfortable. Well, you can make him comfortable. Yeah, we can. We can put him down. Huh. Let's see. $38,000. And Grandpa's like in his 90s. How many more years is he going to have? You know, they can make it okay. Say, you know, just put him down. Put him to sleep. We don't have $48,000 hanging around for this guy to be miserable a few more months. So they should really give you the same choices they give you when they give you when you go for the veterinarian. Yeah, he's had a good life. They always tell you, this is a good life. He's tired. He's tired. And you can put him out of his misery. Huh. That's how I just think that there should be more like that. That'd be a lot easier. I see that happening. You know, you really can't afford, especially with the prices. People do not even go to the doctor until they're like really, really, really sick. Oh, I got this little backache. Oh, man. It's not going away. 2 years later, God, backache still. You know what? This backache's killing me. I want to go and see the doctor. Oh, you've got stage 7 back cancer. Can't do a thing for you. Or they say, oh, you got stage 7 back cancer. We're going to give you all this stuff. We're going to pump you full of things. And then we're going to drain you and your family of all your finances. You're going to be like a vet. You know, he had a good run. He had a good run. Made it to like 80. Not bad. You can kind of put him out of his misery. And then it would make you feel guilty about it. Even though you want to be in there, oh, that'd be the creepy part. I do not like going back there and go, you know, we can put him to sleep, you know. You want to go back there and say goodbye? No, I already said goodbye. I said goodbye. I don't need to go back for the last. I said my goodbye. I'm sorry. Nice. Thank you. I don't know. Going back there, I just think it's a little too morbid. You know, Mariah just keeps reminding me of that one Vincent Price thing. Ever see where they hypnotize Vincent Price? The guy hypnotizes Vincent Price. It's an Alan Edgar Poe thing. And they hypnotize Vincent Price. And Vincent Price is and he's dead. And the guy's, and Vincent Price is still talking. And the guy's hypnotized. He's got him in his hypnotic spell after Vincent Price is dead. And Vincent Price keeps talking to him about like after, and he kills him. The end. Remember that? Oof. If you ever saw it, that was really good. That was like a Tales of Terror. With Vincent Price and the doctor. He's probably a doctor in that one, too. I just think it'd be a lot easier just to ever, you know, if doctors acted more like veterinarians, you know, really. And you see one, and that's great. You see, you go and say, oh, you know, by the way, you want me to clip his toenails while we got him under? Yeah, clip his toenails while you got him under. We can clean his teeth, too. Yeah, his teeth were looking pretty bad. Why don't you clean his teeth and clean his ears out? Clip his toenails. That guy never clipped his toenails. So while you got him under and you're doing that appendicitis,
had to clip his toenails. Give him a haircut, too. And when you're done, you can groom him and bring him back. See, that would be great. You come back, and then you get groomed. He gets his toenails trimmed and, teeth brushed. And he's good as new. Good as new. Or, it could be one of those overexpensive surgeries. And most of the surgeries are like, yeah, well, he stubbed his toe. We're going to have to put a stub. That's going to be $18,000. $18,000 because he broke his big toe. We could put him down. he had a good life. Just make him more comfortable. Okay. I just don't have $18,000 hanging around. Yeah, I know he's like 62. I know he's like 60, but he's had a good life. He's had a good life. 62 good years. You want to? No, I don't want to go back there and say goodbye to him. We're good. And that's the crazy thing, because they even ask you when you put your pet to sleep, they say, "Well, do you want the ashes?" I'm like, maybe, I don't know. Well, that's $185 more. I don't want the ash for $185. They probably go back there and like scoop up some dirt, and you're gonna go the difference. Kevin, somebody's ashes is weird too. I'm sorry. It's not like you're gonna add water and this person's gonna come back to life. It's just that. Why do you want that? Why do you want that? Or then they really try and guilt you in. They go, well, would you want him to have what they call a mass cremation? Or you just want to, how much is the mass? Mass cremation is $15. But if you want a separate cremation, that's like $103. Oh, man. Just put him in the mass cremation, What's the big deal? Once life leaves the body, it's just a pile of stinky garbage. Phew. Get it out of here. Get it out of here. All right, Dr. Space, man or astroman, continuing with doctors in your brain.
In an amazing castle with a tickle 'em to death torture chamber and a 500 player piano with 480,000 keys. It's a musical merry-go-round sparkling with songs and dances whirling you away to a new world of wonders.
Have a smoke. Have a cigar.
Don't mind if I do.
Something to eat. Something to drink.
Dr. T is sweet on Mrs. C. So is Mr. Z, the plumber, who fixes sinks and knows all the angles.
When the plumber Zabludowski has installed the last sink, I want him disintegrated, atom by atom.
See the dangerous descent from the sky-high ladder. See the whammy duel between Dr. T and Mr. Z. See the eighth wonder of the cinema world, the startling, daring Wonderama in color by Technicolor.
Attention, attention everyone in the Tewerka Institute. Down below me, joyful and eager, my students are awaiting our date with destiny. They will not fail, for I shall not fail.
Come on and dress me, dress me, dress me in my finest array. Cause just in case you haven't heard, today's Dormido Day. Dress me in my silver garters, dress me in my diamond studs. Cause I'm going, do-me-doing in my Dormido duds. Want my undulating undies with the marabou frills. I want my beautiful bolero with the porcupine quills. I want my purple nylon girdle with the orange blossom buds. Cause I'm going do-me-doing in my do-me-do duds. Come on and dress me, dress me, dress me in my peekaboo blouse. With the lovely interlining made of Chesapeake mouse. I want my polka dotted dickie with the crinoline fringe. Or I'm going do-me-doing on a do-me-do binge. I want my lavender spats, and in addition to them, I want my honey-colored gusset with the herringbone hem. I want my softest little jacket made of watermelon suede, and my long persimmon placket with the platinum braid. I want my leg of mutton sleeves, and in addition to those, I want my cutie chamois booties with the leopard skin bows. I want my pink brocaded bodice with the fluffy fuzzy ruffs, and my gorgeous bright blue bloomers with the monkey feather cuffs. I want my organdy snood, and in addition to that, I want my chiffon Mother Hubbard lined with Hudson Bay rat. Dress me up from top to bottom, dress me up from tip to toe, dress me up in silk and spinach, for today is Do-me-do, Do-me-do day, Do-me-do day. So come and dress me in the blossoms of a million pink trees. Come on and dress me up in liverwurst and camembert cheese. Come on and dress me up in pretzels. Dress me up in bock beer suds.
Cause I'm going.
Others hunt for food. The only thing I'm hunting for is an outfit that looks good. See my vest, see my vest, made from real gorilla chest. Feel this sweater, there's no better than authentic Irish setter. See this hat, it was my cat, my evening wear, vampire bat. These white slippers are albino, African endangered rhino, grizzly bear underwear, turtle's necks, I've got my share. Beret of poodle on my noodle, it shall rest. Try my red robin suit, it comes one breast or two. See my vest, see my vest, see my vest. Like my loafers, former gophers. chauffeurs. It was that, oh, skin my chauffeurs, but a greyhound fur tuxedo would be best. So let's prepare these dogs.
Kill two for matching dogs.
See my vest, see my vest. Oh, please, won't you see my vest? I really like the vest.
Mm-hmm. There you go, from The Simpsons. I had to go that route. Had to go down the rabbit hole. See my vest. I think that's Harry Shearer doing the voice of Mr. Simpson. Not Mr. Simpson, but Mr. Withers? Yeah, something like that, I guess. Mr. Dithers. I don't know. Smithers was the guy. Mr. Burns. That's it. Mr. Burns. I knew I would get that. And before that, we heard the amazing Hans Conried from the 5,000 Fingers of Dr. T doing Domido Day. So you could see where The Simpsons actually kind of said, oh, wow, this obscure Dr. Seuss. Now, Dr. Seuss did this film, wrote this film in 1953 or 56 called The 5,000 Fingers of Dr. T. And it's this insane musical that you should really check out. Real surreal, but written by Dr. Seuss and The 5,000 Fingers of Dr. T. So played the movie trailer. And then I love the tune Domido Day by Hans Conried. And then, of course, The Simpsons' little takeoff on that with See My Vest. So there, a little doctoring for you. Just doctored that up for you nice. Oh, this is amazing. I'm having a good time. Just what the doctor ordered. Exactly what the doctor ordered. All right, let's dig in a little deep. The Fall, Dr. Faustus.
Dr. Faustus, horseshoe slackens, swallows, haycocks. they call me Dr. Jones, known as the Night Tripper. Got my satchel of gris in my hand. Dig me tripping up and back down the bayou. I'm the last of the best, they call me the Greasy Man. Got many clients, come from miles around, running down my prescription. I got medicine to cure all y'all's ills. I got remedies of every description. I got it now. You got love trouble, you got a bad woman you can't control, I got just the thing for you. Something called controlling hearts and get-together drops. If you work too hard and you need a little rest, try my Easy Life Rub or put some of my Boss Fix Jam in your breakfast. Try a little bit of... Woman got another name. Some goofy dust and you like out of ball stitch pine. I know you're reading out the palm of your hand. Devil, she's strange, old like the same. Put her on your woman's feet and see if she don't know that one and bury her from home. Oh, no.
in for Bugs Bunny bunting. Duck is gonna hunting just to get a rabbit skin, but now the rabbit's gonna get. What's up, Duck? What's cooking? Hey, look out! Stop! You're gonna hurt someone with that old shotgun. Hey, what's up, Duck? We really mean it.
For Scott right there from the Tales of Mystery and Imagination, the project, there you go, Alan Parsons project, and that was Dr. Tar and Professor Feather, nicely requested there from Scott. And in front of that, we heard, actually, this is nice. Mark sent me a promo, and I like this promo. He requested Dr. John, the Night Tripper, and, of course, What's Up, Doc? The from the Bugs Bunny. But it's interesting. You listen to that. That Dr. John record came out in 1969. I mean, gee, 10 years later, it sounds like Tom Waits. I swear it was Tom Waits, you know? But 1969, Dr. John. That first, I think it was one of his first records, The Night Tripper. That was a spooky record, man. I remember that. That was creepy, but a wonderful listen. So anyhow, Mark wrote a promo, and I think I'm going to change my promo. So this is just the way we got to muscle through all this darkness now. Here we go. It says, let's get healthy and listen to Zombo's clinically proven magical musical elixir of a radio show that heals anything from asthma to xenophobia. And I'm sorry, Zeno, nobody's really afraid of you, but there is a xenophobia. But that's what, I think you spell it with a Z. The xenophobia is spelled with an X. But needless to say, it's still pronounced xenophobia. So there we go. We got all caught up. We started off with, Dr. Faustus by the fall started everything off. Woo! Man! Coming up on the noon o'clock. Whew. Wow. This is a solid 2 hours of reasonably accessible, wonderful entertainment. That's correct. But I should tell you some things. Okay. By the way, you got to know your medications. So you can know them while you're standing in line at the Giant Eagle as it goes all the way down the street. So get the most out of your medications. Know their names. Know exactly what's in them. It's a good idea to know your pharmacist. There you go. They're valuable learning about your medications. And the last thing your pharmacist wants to do is have a little chat with you. There is a mile-long line there. You know, oh, what's your name? Oh, it's Jasper. Jasper, what's in these? What? He gave you the big hook. I got a line all the way down into the bakery here. The line's going down into the bakery. That's like the stuff we used to joke about, like in Russia. Hey, you want those new galoshes? Well, you got to stand in line all the way down the street to get your galoshes. Now it's that way with the medicine. You stand in line. Giant lines. Since when did giant lines be a thing? I don't remember giant lines, you know? And I don't understand why. Who are these people in the giant lines at Chick-fil-A? I mean, what are they giving away with that sandwich? It's chicken and bread and some goo. Chicken, bread, and goo. And there's giant lines. Just another breaking wall. Just another notation there of the end of civilization. That, you know, they make this big weird thing about the chicken sandwich. You know? That is bizarre. So today is all about doctors. It is all about doctors, and it is the middle of the pyramid of civilization. By the way, speaking of chicken and bread, after we're done with the civilization pyramid, we're going to do, that's right, the nutritional pyramid with your bread, songs about breads and dairy. That's going to be fun. So we're going to do we started off with these pyramid things. We did the pyramid of hierarchy of needs, which was, you know, like, water, food, shelter, this, that, and went all the way up to self-actualization. Now we're halfway through the Egyptian pyramid of civilization. And we started with like the slaves and base workers, and then went from there to craftsmen. And now we're into doctors. And next week is going to be soldiers. All songs about that. But these songs about doctors are pretty awesome. We played UFO Doctor Doctor. That was a request by Zeno. So please, nobody get xenophobia. There you go. You don't want xenophobia. There you go. But that, I am blown away. I haven't heard that Dr. John, and that was requested by Mark. Requested Gree Gree Gumbo Yaya. And I remember hearing that, and it was like, I never heard anything like that. It was like, it really captured. If you see the way that's produced, it's like what they call, I've heard they call it a close miking, where he gets right into the mic, right in there. So it just sounds like he's right there in the room with you. Yeah, and that's before he got into, like, you know, right place, wrong time, kind of like being more, you know, little more New Orleans cornball. Back then, when he first came out, he was some weird voodoo dude, you know, And man, did Tom Waits take a few notes from that guy's notebook. Wow. Because they always say Tom Waits, oh, it sounds like Kurt Weill. It sounds like, you know, old 1930s German expressionism music. When really, honestly, it just sounds like early Dr. John. I just made that connection now. Even the percussion, the clunky percussion, and just that gravelly thing, and just how it's written. Holy moly, is that a dilly. Made my day. All right, let's get into some more doctors. Dr. Wu, but by the Minutemen.
Seem right. Well, I've been strung out here all night. I've been waiting for the taste you said you'd bring to me. This cane bed where the Cuban children sleep all day. I was searching for the song you used to sing to me. Katie flies, you can see it in her eyes. Imagine my surprise when I saw you. Are you with me, Dr. Wu? Are you really just a shadow of the man that I once knew? Are you crazy? Are you high? Are you just an ordinary guy?